Tanya and Steve, number one in Newcastle with McDonald Jones, the Hunter's leading home builder.
Live from the greatest city in the world, this is Tanya and Steve.
We get up, we get dressed, waking up, Newcastle's best, live and free, Triple M's, Tanya and Steve.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Rosie just gave us a TV point. Yeah, when like you're on air and he just pointed to us.
And what do you reckon? Go!
After 20 years we could have figured that for ourselves, but geez, thank you, Rosie.
You're welcome. Now just making sure it is a Thursday. It's been a long start to the year.
I was going to say, obviously we look really tired. You thought I better let them know they're on air.
Just double checking. Yeah, yeah.
What day is it? Thursday.
Thursday.
Right.
Just before we go any further, did you put a photo up this morning?
No.
Good boy.
What else?
Let's make it sure it stays that way.
I don't know about that. I just haven't done it yet.
I know the photo you're talking about.
Won't be happy with that. I came in this morning.
You've been warned.
Having a heart attack. An EP tie made me lay on the ground.
Yep.
And do weird things. It worked.
As you can imagine, everybody, in no way does Tanya ever over-exaggerate. When I get a, you know, stiff rib and a bit of a sore pain, I come in and go, oh, God, I got a rib out. No, not Tanya. Having a heart attack.
I thought I was.
I met her in the lift and she's going, oh no, I'm having a heart attack. And of course, immediately I went, not now, not in the lift with me. That's not going to look good in the end. Doors open, you're on the ground dead. I'm not sure what happened, everybody.
Whoops.
I'm not too sure what happened. But yes, she is dead.
Why did I have to be dead? Why couldn't we be doing mouth to mouth?
Well, exactly. Exactly. That would have looked a little worse.
I don't know about that.
I'm just trying to resuscitate her. There's nothing wrong with me. Shut up, Tanya.
And do you want to clarify what you were doing on the ground as well?
Well, Ethan Tide said, I just lay on your back. And if anyone's having a heart attack, I wouldn't recommend you do this. You probably should go to hospital. But if you're a hypochondriac, it works.
Yeah, and we have a show to do.
Absolutely.
So heart attacks don't stop us from going on air.
No. So I had to lay flat on the ground.
Yeah.
Cock one leg over the other one.
You did. Yes, yeah. She did. And basically looked like she was passed out from alcohol. That was the moment I took the photo.
Snap.
And that's the moment I expect to see online today.
No, Tanya. No. I'm really upset that you would imagine that I would take advantage of you in an unwell situation.
And what would the line underneath be?
Pissed again. I mean, I hope she's okay.
I'll be watching your social media carefully all day.
I am happy that you said hypochondriac, though. It's the first time I've ever heard you utter that.
Yeah.
We say it all the time, but I've never heard you call yourself that. I've cut my finger. Oh, that's it. Leprosy.
Amputate it.
Anyway, heart attack's out of the way.
It's gone.
Feel better now? You're all
great.
Good?
Yep.
Okay, ready to go. Everything's under control.
Can we get on with the show now?
There we go. Fire away.
You guys are the boss.
Oh, God.
We're all fit and healthy here today.
Good.
Good. Excellent.
Oh, wait. Oh, now I'm having a heart attack.
Tanya and Steve's on the line.
What are you seeing today, mate?
Okay. Well, we know Anthony Albanese, since he's been in government, is on a bit of a world tour, and I believe Australia is on that tour at some point.
You reckon?
No.
That'd be nice. It'd be nice for him to rock up to work, wouldn't it?
No.
It's the only job in the world where you can say, g'day, guys, how are you going? I love the new job. I'll be on holidays if you need me.
Exactly.
Well, yesterday, I don't know whether you guys saw it, but he had a bit of a moment with Bojo.
Oh, yeah,
Boris
I saw the
Johnson.
Boris thing, yeah.
And
got the Prezi.
Yeah, so they met on the sidelines of the NATO summit in Madrid.
Mm.
And they had a little photo op. And then Anthony Albanese presented Bojo, Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of the UK, with a South Sydney rugby league jersey.
As you can imagine. You know, if it's not Russell Crowe dishing them out, it's our Prime
it's
Minister.
Elbow.
You would actually think internationally we only have one rugby league team.
It's true.
Because Russell Crowe's made South famous, right?
In Hollywood, yeah. Absolutely.
Now Elbow's over there in Europe trying to do it.
But it just blows my mind because Bojo would not have a clue. He really wouldn't.
This is a man who makes buses out of cardboard boxes, can you?
Oh, my
God, yes.
I was actually keen to find that grab again and I didn't know where to look. But a long time ago anyway, they said, what do you do for a hobby to Bojo? And he said that he gets boxes and makes buses. And
that was so awkward.
The weirdest thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I know. I saw that too.
I know.
Okay, that's what you thought. A Sydney jacket. Yeah. I don't even want one. I like South.
He's brand new in the job. I don't know, you know, how many people are in on the decision-making process for what kind of gifts we give other world leaders.
Yeah.
But you would assume that Anthony Albanese pulled the Trump card and went, no, we're doing a South Sydney Rugby League jersey because he is a mad passionate Souths fan.
He is, and you're right. There would be a meeting. We need to give him a gift. It will be, you know, on media and things like that. And you're right. There probably was about 20 suggestions. Yeah. And you went, you know what he'd bloody like.
And they
you
going,
know what he'd like.
Well, maybe, no, something more representative in the entire country.
Oh, yes.
Rather than just the South Sydney electorate.
All right. Okay. What's your name? Tanya, is it? You're fine. Bring someone in here who'll agree with me.
I just think it's so funny. I laughed.
But you know what? How many times do we see these gifts?
Yeah.
And we know there's a committee.
Yes.
Of people that come up with them. Mm. And we always look and go, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Imagine their homes at Christmas. There must be a load of disappointed kiddies getting their South jacket.
Well, you know, for a lot of world leaders, ours included, they can't take them home anyway. They end up, you know, they belong to us, the taxpayers.
Yeah. Yes.
So there's a room somewhere with all these garbage gifts that other world leaders have given us as well.
Wouldn't you think, you know, if you look at Boris Johnson, the obvious thing for me is you'd give him a voucher to go and get a good hairdo.
Yes. Just Cuts or something like that. No,
there you go,
Rizey.
I like that Rizey's thinking that he's spending her taxpayer money, so we'll just go Just Cuts.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm not going high end.
There you
are. Just go just a nice casual men's hairdo.
There you go.
Okay.
That's what I'd get, Boris.
Well, they should have
That's
asked
That's a good
us.
Call.
But, yeah, there's actually a segment, you know, in world leader gifts over the decades.
Yeah.
And they're all rubbish.
They are.
The thing is, though, don't you reckon the one thing they miss out on? They should wrap it. You know, the experience of...
True.
They just hand it to them.
Yeah.
No, we want to watch them unwrap it. Then we see the misery on their face when it just finally unfolds. Oh, good, look at this. It's a rabbit jacket.
Tanya and Steve's. First Inch.
All right, we play the First Inch of a song. You guess what it is? You score the goodies.
It's a double pass to Foghorn Brewery's Winter Warmers Beer Dinner, which sounds amazing.
Yep.
Four-course meal with matching beers. And a family pass to the Ninja Park, Newcastle, for the school holidays.
Yes, two more sleeps. Oh, teacher strike. One more sleep.
Yeah.
If they bother going to the pupil... Not pupil-free, but... You know that? People don't go to break-up days anymore, T.
I know, it's depressing.
It is. That was the best part of the... Term.
Yep.
Anyway, you've got to guess this song. You've got to ring through.
I thought it was a bit harder today, but you
not
you both
at all.
Scored it.
And I think
away.
Everyone listening, do not be afraid of this one.
No.
You will nail this within a nanosecond.
Absolutely.
133353. Give us a call. A lot of people starting their school holiday, so Ninja Park would be the perfect present. And also that beer dinner, Falklands Brewery Winter Warmers beer dinner. That's on tonight.
That's right. The kids can go to the beer dinner, and the adults can go to the Ninja Park.
Mm.
What a time!
What a time!
Yeah.
Give us a call. 133353. You want to solve it today?
Did you nail the right artist?
That was the worst stretch I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I was curious.
There's almost a clue in that.
I did, and I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I did, because he wouldn't know the other. But I know what you mean. Yeah, I'm with you. Tanya.
There's a clue in that.
Yeah, there is a big clue in that.
Kelly's at Talara. Good morning.
Morning.
Here we go, Kelly. Listen carefully to the first inch of this song. No.
No.
Do it again, Rise.
Oh.
No.
No worries, Kelly. You have a great day.
See, it's interesting because EP Ty even nailed this, and I say even nailed this, and... But he's normally
terrible at it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, but he's so young.
Mm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he got this.
Let's see if Matt from Adamstown knows. Okay, Matt, listen to this. What do you think?
Go again. Got nothing. Sorry, guys.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry,
all good, Matt. Have a great day, too.
Natalie is at Madawi. G'day, Nat.
Hi.
Here we go. Listen. What do you think?
Oh, I've got no idea.
Must be frustrating when we come on at the start and go, it's so easy, you all get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was easy today. That's
well,
why. Yeah, but you
not.
Both nailed it today. We've got Craig at Stockton here.
Hey, Craig.
How you going?
Yeah, good. Listen.
Here we go.
Oh, sorry.
What do you think?
I need another millimetre.
Here you go. One more listen for you, Craig.
No. All right.
I do like that we are still talking the imperial system.
Yes.
First inch.
Glenn's at Swansea. Have a listen, Glenn. Any ideas?
New Year's Day.
No.
Good try, though.
Wow. This is a lot harder than we thought, but a lot of phone calls coming through. Tea Gardens, Shane, what do you reckon?
Morning, champions. Is it Fine Young Cannibals, Suspicious Minds?
Yes! Well done.
Because we thought the Elvis thing would be stuck in our mind a little bit.
Yeah.
There you are. That's what it is.
Interesting, though, Shane. When Risey played it to EP Ty and I, we both went, Elvis Presley, Suspicious Minds, yeah. And Risey's like... Yeah, nah.
But yeah, right. Are you idiots? Elvis didn't do this song. It's the Fine Young Cannibals who did this song.
It was so embarrassing that Elvis did a cover of their song.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like when bloody Paul McCartney did a cover of Guns N' Roses' Live and Let Die, wasn't it,
Ross? Exactly the same.
Shane, you've got a double pass to Foghorn Brewery's Winter Warmers beer dinner and a family pass to the Ninja Park in Newcastle.
Thank you, champions. You have a
ripper
day.
You too, Shane. We were just literally looking, never mind Sunday, literally from... tomorrow.
Football.
To the next Friday.
Yeah, rain.
That's like, yeah. And we were talking yesterday to you, weren't we, about vitamin D.
Oh, right? My God.
The fact that, you know, the lack of, he's got a lack of it too. My son's got a lack of it. Yep. Like, I'm taking vitamin D tablets as well because it's a lack of sunlight and how much that affects you. And then I got talking after you and I chatting to another bunch of friends about it, all said the same thing. It sets your mood.
Oh, definitely.
Well, I see a lady regularly. She's a functional medical practitioner, right? And
it's a long name for a doctor.
Yeah, I know. Yep. But she takes all my, because of the Hashimoto's.
Yeah, yeah.
So recently I had my vitamin D tested again. It's gone back to where it was 2 years ago. So even though the supplements I've been taking, they work for a while, but they're not working anymore.
Mm.
So now I'm on these mega doses of vitamin D because vitamin D is crucial. It affects so many of our organs.
Oh, yeah.
It affects our metabolism. Mm. It affects our moods.
Oh, definitely.
Depression. All of those things.
You know, even if you're in sunlight too, sunglasses block D getting in.
Yeah.
You know, that's even part of it.
Yeah. She actually told me about an app that, you know, any one of us can access. And I kind of went, do we really need that? And she went, you would be surprised. It's called D-Minder.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to download it, it just tells you, it helps you, you put what your address in, basically, and every day it'll tell you, okay, step outside now for X amount of minutes, and you should have enough vitamin D exposure to be topping yourself up.
Christ.
So it's a really good app. If you're, you know, unsure, and we're all slapping, we're trying to be responsible.
Well, we haven't for about 2 months.
I know, but we still need that vitamin D shot.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's something you can have a look at, D-Minder.
If you're running down an energy and you're tired and all that gear, definitely got something to do with it, definitely got something to do with moods.
Yep.
And you'll notice last weekend how brighter people were.
Yeah.
So
the
much
sun
so.
Was out, it was all gorgeous, and 100%. People were brighter within themselves.
Yeah, do you remember when, I don't know whether they still do it, but in Ireland and the UK, maybe in other parts of Europe, but I know it happened there especially, they would, like, SAD was a recognised thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
seasonal
yeah.
affected disorder.
Yes.
To the point where they would be given SAD money every kind of November for them to take a holiday, usually in the sun, maybe somewhere like Spain, because it was cheap and cheerful and close.
Yeah.
But that was something they all look forward to, getting their SAD money from the government.
Only the Irish.
So they could get some sunshine.
Only the Irish would come up with a to call it SAD.
Yeah.
Because, seasonal?
Affective disorder.
But come on.
Yeah.
They've deliberately done that. Would you like some SAD money? You look a little bit upset. How about some SAD money? I love it. I love it. And back to the app.
Yeah.
You ought to have had a couple of. Going to people who have gone to university for 8 years to study medicine, I go in, I give them my $80, I go, what's wrong with me? She goes, wait a minute, I'll Google it. What are your symptoms again? It's like, I could be a doctor now.
Yeah, okie-doke.
Really? They just Google everything.
All right. Then
they go, okay, no, well, here's an app you can go. So there you go, your phone will look after you.
Well, this one, though...
Mate, by the time I finish with your skin cancer app, your vitamin D app, your parking app, that's like all just, it's all on the phone.
I know.
Oh, bugger off. Just give me a pill.
That's them at Twitter.
Now, Tanya and Steve take you inside the gym. Callanan.
Oh, hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Jim.
How are you, team? I'm speaking a bit like that myself.
Yeah, we all
thanks,
are.
Jimmy.
Hey,
we're just blaming lack of vitamin D for the next 3 weeks, all right?
beanies for
lack of sleep.
Beanies for brain cancer round this weekend, and we're kicking off with the Knights on Friday night against the Titans. How are we going to see that go, Jim?
Well, it'll be great with the beanies for brain cancer round. The footy, yes, could be a different story.
Funny you say that, Jim. That's what we're focusing on.
Yeah, what a special round. I had a great time with Mark, Billy Pede, and the whole stack of them at the launch at the SCG a few mornings ago. And Billy's like whack, bam, smack in this big three trek yet again. And you should see him, guys. Like, he's so fit. I reckon he could actually go out and still play Billy Pede.
It's funny, we were talking to him the other day, Jim, and he was saying he may look fit, but he's feeling it.
Mate, don't believe a word he's
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, I know. He's good. Yeah.
There's a whole crew of them that train still. Kurt Gidley, Danny Medeiros, yeah. all those guys. They look super fit. But anyway, as we know, it's for such a fantastic cause, and the people who are a part of that track are so special. They will be arriving just before kickoff. I think they're going to come out at halftime during the game. We're going to catch up with Billy in the lead-up to that as well, just to see exactly how he's feeling. And then we all pitch in. We all buy the beanies. We all raise money. We all know where it's going and why. And, yeah, let's look at the positive side of what is a really challenging situation for so many.
Well, and from a game point of view too, you know, it's bucketing rain as forecast, wet track, so it's going to be an interesting for both sides, Gold Coast or Knights, you know, to get amongst it, isn't it?
Well, what better time to bring those Gold Coasters, those people who sunbake on the beach down to a waterlogged McDonald Jones Stadium and see how they
cop
see
that.
How they go. Yeah, it doesn't sound too good, does it, team? Look, I think it probably helps us more than anything. The Titans, to me, it'll affect their game plan a little bit more than maybe it'll affect Newcastle. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Daniel Saifidi comes into the 17. I think it might just be a week too early for Bradman Best. I know they're pushing hard for him, but I think you'll see DSAF back on Friday night as well.
What about Adam O'Brien? He didn't seem too happy with the protocol for the head knock. He was seemingly having a bit of a complaint about it yesterday. Mm.
Yeah, look, he was pretty measured in what he said. Yeah. So, you know, it's difficult to read that in print sometimes. When you hear it in context, I think it was pretty measured in that an independent doctor for Queensland has got no vested interest whether Caelan Ponga comes back to Clubland or not, just wants to make sure he's okay, passed him on the night. However, it's the bunker who said, no, that's a Category 1, which means that's an automatic 7 days. And as we know, Sunday to Friday, it's within that time, so he's automatically ruled out, even though the doctor who literally saw him at the ground says, you have passed your HIA, you would be okay if you do your protocols to play next weekend. I can absolutely sense that frustration because there just seems to be maybe a little bit too much control coming from the doctor who's not physically assessing the player.
Absolutely.
And I sense that frustration across all the clubs, not just Newcastle, but it's Newcastle that's highlighted this week.
It's interesting, isn't it, just looking at the ladder, Gold Coast, bottom of the ladder.
Mm.
We're actually at 12.
Are we?
Yes. Okay. So I thought we were just above them, but, now we're killing
them. They've won one game in 11. Yeah, they've been the biggest disappointment of the season. I know we've probably kicking stones a little bit, but I think many of us had the Gold Coast going on an upward trajectory, and they have really got the anchors on, haven't they, big time? So, you know, I don't feel too much. I do like Justin Holbrook. He's a former Knights player and got to know him well in his time, and he's a great coach, but there's something really going wrong there. You just hope, you really just hope we don't play this team into any sort of form on Friday night. And you just think, look, guys, they know their last five performances at home haven't just been losses. They've been really poor performances.
Yeah.
And I know they keep saying the same thing, that they're going to turn things around. Well, okay, we're going to have to see it on Friday night.
Especially because it is such a special round.
Exactly.
You know, you've got all these people arriving at the stadium for Mark Hughes. Be lovely to get a win. Yeah.
I think take Canterbury. Taking the Canterbury thing, because you know how bad they were going, and suddenly they've won a few games. Yeah. And it's just, I'm sure the coach is just going, just go out and get some intercepts.
Yeah.
That's all they do now. they get intercepts and they win. So that should be the Knights' game plan.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
I like it.
Yep.
Thanks, Jimmy.
I like it. Good on you, crew. Have a great day.
You too.
There's Jimmy Callan. And we'll put all Jim's tips for the round up on the Triple M socials as well, if you want to see who Jim's picking in each game of the NRL round this weekend.
Go on, tell them. Tell them, Chief.
Cleaning toilets will now officially earn you more than a degree from a university.
Just save your hex debt, gang.
With domestic workers now earning salaries in excess of $90,000 a year for first-timers.
Yeah.
And if you're, you've been at it for a while, some domestic workers, like cleaners, are earning $124,000 now.
Yeah, we know you're all yelling at the radio going, that's rubbish.
all the cleaners out there going,
is that bloody right? But, depending on the circumstance, and that's a stat.
Yeah, well, this is because of a labour shortage.
You can make that labour shortage and, for sure.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So a starting salary for, say, an architecture graduate is around $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
So all, and you've got all that hex debt, whereas you can just, there you go, crank up the old Windex.
Yeah.
$90,000, thanks very much.
Well, as I always tell any kids that get panicky about HSC or it's not their go or whatever it is, it's not. It's about how you, you know, you could become a barman but then become a manager and then maybe invest and buy a bar. It's like there's so many opportunities to make money in the world, and we just focus on this uni degree thing. It's bizarre, isn't it? And I don't mean bizarre because it's good to have one if that's right for the child.
Sure.
If it's not right for the child, we tend to go, hmm, what are they going to do? We don't give other options.
All kids are different, aren't they?
Of course they are. Kids, and look, we all, you know, moved on and got on without degrees. It's a different world, I understand. But, you know, you don't have to have a degree to get every job.
No, you don't.
You just don't.
No, you just need it if you
if you want to go into some sort of
career trajectory.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know when that's ever going to swing back. You know, that uni thing and all that pressure the kids are always constantly under. Because we weren't when we were growing up. It was like a luxury almost, wasn't it? If you wanted to head way.
Well, it was free back then.
Well, that too.
Education was free.
Wow. That was Gough brought that in. That's a Labor thing that was brought in, that uni was free and things. How much, have you finished your hex debt rising?
Yeah, mine's paid off. But it was 20 grand when I finished it, and that was like over 10 years ago.
There you go.
So now, everything, inflation, I'm sure it's double that for a lot.
And just, you've got a degree in?
Occupational therapy,
How's that going for you?
You'll go back to it one day, Rise.
One day, maybe.
No, you won't.
No,
you won't, Rise.
Well,
don't lie.
Thanks, Daniel.
We've got kids listening. We want to encourage.
It was a waste of 20 grand.
Thank you, mate.
But I had a great time.
There you go.
It was an awesome, I would not change because I had best 4 years.
You know, you could have had a better 4 years if you just went overseas with 20 grand.
Because I wouldn't have had to do any assignments or anything as well. Oh, you're bloody right.
Anyway. Life's whatever you want it to be.
Exactly.
Yes, it is. Tanya and Steve. Take that.
Rewind it back. Throwback Thursday. Hey, this is a fun one. I know it's been doing the rounds for the last few days in Australia. It seems to be everywhere. I don't know who started it, but
they did.
Yeah,
them.
I've been watching it online. I thought it would be a good one for us to do on Throwback Thursday. And it's simply the things you thought made other people rich when you were a kid.
Yeah, the ironic thing. Nothing's changed for me.
What is it?
If you had a pool,
you were rich.
If you eat out a lot.
You were rich.
If you eat in a lot. Restaurants, I mean.
Yep.
Same.
Yeah, okay.
Right, when I was growing up, my mum and dad never, ever went out. To a restaurant.
Same.
Right? So when you'd see friends that were going to restaurants, because you guys must be loaded.
Yeah.
And you know where the restaurant was? Pizza Hut. Where you had to wait to be seated.
Absolutely.
Well, that's posh.
That's what we want to hear from you. When you were a kid, what things happened around you that you thought, they're rich?
1-333-53. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you on 1-333-53.
I've got a couple. Growing up in Raymond Terrace, if anyone had a two-story house, they were rich.
Absolutely.
Because they're a dime a dozen in Raymond Terrace. Well, not so much these days because there's new bits.
Yeah.
But there was one friend that lived around the corner in Roslyn Park Estate. She had a two-story house.
Rich.
Oh, my God. And she bought clothes from stores.
Here's one for you.
Like, Mum didn't make them for her.
Sadly, Tanya and I had a similar childhood. But rich. When you'd go to the two-story house, and then there'd be this room, you'd go, what's that? And they'd call it a study. And you'd go, well, what?
A study?
Yeah, but the only thing was on the Brady Bunch, where, you know, the dad had a den.
Yep.
They did too.
Right, but those two-story houses, you know, now they have butler's pantries.
I know. For God's sake. Here's another one that I vividly recall going through this emotion as a kid. If you go to someone's house and their parents would let you have proper fizzy drink, and not makeup cordial.
Oh, yeah.
They were rich.
Oh, rich.
Because the kids were allowed out of the fussy fizzy drink out of the bottle.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So rich.
Now, I'll take you back to the time when I'd go to someone's house and they weren't serving RC Cola.
Callan's at Tingara Heights. What made you think other kids were rich?
Hey, guys. How are you? It wasn't so much other guys. My father used to own a Volvo 740 back in about 1980. And my mother used to say to him, you're not taking that car? People are... I think we're bloody rich.
Yeah, that is true, Callum.
We'll take the other car, not the Volvo.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, my God.
I remember it so clearly, wasn't funny.
But even to have two cars in a family, you must have been rich.
You were.
No, definitely not. Mum and Dad did it tough, but they brought us up very well.
Yeah,
I love
that's
that.
That's great.
You know, Callum, back then, you don't see it now, of course, but back then, across the road, Mr. Steele would always buy the whatever year Celica was coming out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But he left the plastic. The cars used to come with plastic on the seats, plastic on the, you know, to protect.
Didn't leave it on.
Left it on.
Left it on every time.
Right, so a bit like Gallivan. It's like when he sold that car, it was newer than when he bought it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
He was rich.
Louisa, sorry, is it Singleton? Louisa, what made you think other people were rich?
Well, when I was growing up, my friend, who is still a friend today, 45 years later, used to get paid for passing her exams, and she'd get $50 if she did well in her exams.
Wow.
And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you know, we've both grown up and got degrees now. I've got about four of them, and so I sort of think that the money might not have played a part, but I certainly, as a child, thought that she was rich.
How's that?
Her family was rich.
That's very cool.
That's like kids in sport now and get $5 a try.
Yeah. I know. That happens so much.
I know. A goal or a try or whatever.
That's been happening for years.
But it's gone up.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever happened to 50 cents?
Whatever happened to just getting a try for the sake of getting a try?
Katrina's at Glendale. What did you made you think other people were rich, Katrina?
It wasn't me, it was my kids when they were going to school. Like if we had bananas, we used to freeze them and I'd make banana bread or banana cake out of them. And when the storm was on and bananas got really expensive, they were like $20 a kilo at the shop. If they took banana bread or banana cake to school, the kids used to say, "You must be rich because you must make."
Absolutely.
They were frozen, they were already in the fridge.
I love that.
Fancy pants banana bread. Yeah. Okay, oh, so Brooke cute. At Camera Park, what used to be rich for you?
Oh, the heating lamps in bathrooms.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Instead of having to do the cold tile shuffle.
Hey, yeah, they had. Brooke, I'm still saving up for one of them, so shut up.
Heating lamps.
We used to go to my auntie and uncle's in Canberra, and I would tell all my friends we're going to the rich auntie and uncle's house. and the only reason that we thought they were rich because they had a rumpus room downstairs, which was like unheard of to have stairs in your house.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And rumpus heating room. Lamps.
Yeah.
And heating lamps. So it was like, and now we've got them, and it's like, oh, we're not rich, but anywho.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that is great.
Thank you, Brooke.
Those little things when you were a kid and go, look at this.
I know. Nikki's at Georgetown. Wrap it up for us, Nikki. What made you think other people were rich?
My next door neighbour had an old Commodore 64.
Yeah.
And we had no computers. Yeah. Yeah. And she used to play all these games.
Do you remember the cassette loader? It was a cassette.
Was it?
You would push. Yeah. It loaded like the Commodore 64 had a cassette game loader.
Did she let you play on it, Nikki?
Yeah, she did. So I would sneak over after school and have a few games with her.
Unbelievable.
But we didn't have computers back then. So to have a big computer was, pretty.
That's cool.
Rich. Mine's a bit reversed to what we was talking about, his dad's car. Mm. I was the first out of my group of friends to have the Atari. Like, literally wire it to the back of your TV, kind of, really, really. But, I had a game console.
Yeah.
Wow,
like,
rich.
Pong and all that. No one ever believes this, but it's true. The biggest thing I ever went, I went to a place where the air conditioning came out of the floor rise. And I remember, right.
Floor?
Air conditioning? Like, they had vents in the floor. And I said, you've been hot, Steve? And I went, yeah. She would turn the air conditioner on. And suddenly, it was like Marilyn Monroe. I was standing above this cool vent, and my kilt was going in the air.
Why do you get... This is my house in Tyers Hill. Why do you think that was so special? You haven't stopped talking about it for 20 years.
Richest woman I've ever met. How could you possibly afford air conditioning to come out of your floor is beyond me.
It's because they didn't want to break through the pretty ceilings, the ornate ceilings.
He didn't want to.
He's been banging on about that for 20 years.
I've heard him talk about it for 20 years.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable. I didn't think, as driving home, and I said this story, I said, how do we get that rich, Karen, that we can afford air conditioning out of our floor?
Oh, my God. You poor thing, and you still don't have air conditioning.
Here's the thing, right? I've never seen it anywhere in my life.
Really?
Never have I ever seen air conditioning coming out of a floor in my life, apart from your house. That's why.
Right.
Have you?
Not really.
Rich! Rest your case.
Now, Tanya, I'd just like to go back to something you confessed on the show to me yesterday as your mate who's helping you through all of this.
Yeah. My name is Tanya,
right.
And I'm a chocoholic.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Tanya. Welcome to the group.
It's a safe space.
You then said, that's it, from this day forth, no more chocolate.
No more chocolate.
And
I went home. I even put the 7 remaining Maltesers that I'd hidden from Michael in the bin and poured hot tea on them so I wouldn't be tempted to get them out of the bin later.
I can't.
Because I have eaten out of the bin before.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's a good place.
I was pregnant.
It's a good, but it's a good place to hide things.
Yeah.
So you should put it under a piece of paper, right? So tip from the players. Anyway, how did you go? So you've done that. No more chocolate.
No more chocolate.
So for 24 hours now?
That was, well, yes. See, this is where I'm cranky.
I didn't like the tone. Did you like the tone, Risey?
Didn't like
that tone didn't sound right.
I'm cranky. Let's launch the detective music.
Yes, yes, I hear what you're playing. Yes, yes, Clouseau.
Yesterday afternoon, it was 4:20.
Yep.
I stepped outside my front door on my way to Pilates.
Mm-hmm.
I was desperate for chocolate because I'd been thinking about it all day.
That's
because I'd given it up.
It's a thing when you give up, you think more about it.
My front door wouldn't open, my screen door, because it was banging against something. I looked down. There on my welcome mat was a massive basket of chocolatey treats. Tim Tams, Maltesers, chocolate chewy balls, original milk, gluten-free hazelnut chocolate.
Unbelievable.
The list went on.
What did you call it again?
A basket.
No. The correct term is temptation.
Well, it was temptation and wasn't happy. I thought, who would do this to me?
Was there a note attached?
There was a note attached.
What did the note say?
It simply said, good luck with the breakup.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Who do you reckon it was?
Well, this is why I've got the Inspector Clouseau music.
Yes, I can hear that, yes.
It's either you, Risey, E.P. Ty, or my next door neighbour Tracy.
What about, what about if I said to you, it wasn't one of them?
Well, who was it then? Do you know?
Well,
do you know?
Well, it wasn't one of them.
Steve must know. Who sent?
So it was
box.
All three of you. Was Tracy involved?
Not at all.
No, Tracy wasn't involved. You can stop ignoring Tracy.
No, I can assure you, after you confessed on air to giving up chocolate, we came up with a little plan to help you.
That's so mean.
No, it's to help you.
That's like giving someone that... But anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah. An alcoholic, a six-pack. Yes. We understand, yes.
Yeah,
so you conspired against me giving up chocolate?
No.
We wanted you to be tough.
No, we placed temptation in front of you to see the strength of your conviction.
Well, 7:30 last night, nobody had touched that chocolate, even though Michael wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Why can't Michael now? Because you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, for God's sake.
And but what happened after 7? What happened after 7:30?
Yeah, what happened after 7:30?
A quarter past 8.
Oh, yeah.
Michael opened one of the bags of Maltesers.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some!
Yeah!
We knew you could have said
some. Now it's back to square one.
Yeah, no. It is showing, it is merely teaching you a lesson on the strength you'll need to get through this conviction.
I was so upset with whoever did that.
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, Danny Wills! Temptation was put in front of you and you folded.
I certainly did.
To show you the strength you will need.
And I think Michael got 3 and I had 33.
There we are. There we are. So for anyone...
that's mean!
Anyone wanting to give up chocolate, it's not as easy as you think, especially if you've got mates like us.
So mean!
Sorry.
You know what I did think, though?
What?
Right, so, you said on air, you're going to give up chocolate.
Yes.
And then you get a basket of chocolate. Hi, my name's Steve, and I'm giving up alcohol forever.
Ever. Send him 4 cases of beer.
I'm never, ever going to drink again. 12 o'clock's good, I'll be home.
Deal shared.
It's the ultimate backstab, isn't it? An Aussie coaching the old enemy, England, on Australian soil. Mind you, we've got a Kiwi coaching us, so it's all a bit upside down. I'm talking rugby union, and seeing as Eddie Jones was famously sacked from the Wallabies job in 2005 after taking us to the World Cup final, we can't complain too much that he continues to wreak his revenge with the Brits. Eddie has coached against Australia very well for a very long time, unfortunately. His record versus the Wallabies as England coach is 8 wins. And no losses. That rivalry restarts on Saturday in Perth in the start of a 3-game series. Part of his aura, his incredible work ethic and high standards. And the players love him, not just his team, but the opposition as well. This is former Maitland boy Nick White, who will line up on Saturday.
He's someone I tell everyone all the time. Like, you know, they do that. Like, oh, if you had three people you could have dinner with, I'm always like, Eddie Jones. You know, we're talking grown men that couldn't throw a line out, shaking their arms because Eddie was walking behind them, like, that scared of the guy. How's this guy got all these men shaking in their boots?
So that's the scary side. On the flip side, when he was announcing the English squad for the tour, he's got this big smile on his face all through it, like, I know something that you all don't. So, England aren't in exactly the greatest form. They lost a few games recently. But in Australia, he'll take a lot of the headlines. He's almost as much of the X factor as the players. Game one in Perth. We saw how good that stadium is with State of Origin last weekend, although it was a bit slippery. So hopefully the Wallabies packed the long metal studs, not just to keep their footing, but they might sort out a few of the English in those big rucks and mauls as well.
Oh, that's cruel.
Can someone refresh my memory on why they sacked him?
Well,
they had a bad run.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, this is 2005, the 2003 World Cup where he coached. That was the Johnny Wilkinson field goal. If it wasn't for that, they didn't win the World Cup, and they went on a bit of a slide.
19 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still remember that way. Those games.
So that was the Eddie Jones era back then. Okay. And he's back to torment us again this weekend.
We remember a kick from a guy in a nursing home now.
I want to tell you a little story because I...
Is it about a man named Jed?
No, it's not actually.
Sorry.
That's an old TV.
Tell a little story about a man named Jed.
Beverly Hillbillies.
Anyway, sorry, it just popped in my head.
Because I think there will be people that can totally relate.
Yep.
Even though we're all grown up, we've had our own children, our own parents still treat us like children.
Oh, don't.
I'll tell you an example.
Right.
Last Friday when I took my mum and dad to see Elvis, the new movie.
Which I'm doing this weekend, by the way.
Lovely.
My parents are coming too. Very nice. Please give me an example of what goes on.
Okay. Well, in all the rush of picking them up and us leaving, they only took their back door key with them.
Right.
They forgot the front door key, only took the back door.
Yep.
So when we got back to their house in the dark on Friday night, we had to scale the back fence. Someone had to scale the back fence, which is really high.
Yeah.
Get over and then, you know, make their way around and use the back door key. Now, I'm all prepared. My parents, like, they're my parents.
Yeah.
They're in their early 70s. So I go...
Sure, I thought Evie told me she was 38.
I know. But I give my handbag to Dad and go, hold this. And my mother goes... Excuse me, young lady. You are not getting over that fence.
Too dangerous.
You'll hurt yourself.
Too dangerous for you.
And I'm kind of going, Mum, I'm decades younger than you. It's fine.
Yeah.
With that, she hoisted herself up.
Wouldn't let you do it.
No, wouldn't let me do it.
She's on the fence.
She's like a rat up a drain pipe.
Yeah.
She's up on the fence.
Took
she's
her back
pretty
to her
tough.
Old Raymond Terrace days.
Absolutely. Usually she had a balaclava on in those days.
That's right.
Balaclava free. Yeah. Got over the fence.
Yep.
No problem. I think she did a pike and a double somersault on the way down.
Landed safely. On the ground.
And then let us in.
Yeah.
But it's like, I felt, this is how men must feel sometimes when, you know what I mean, when you're demasculinated. That's a new word for you.
I'm not quite sure, Rise. Does she mean when we're manscaping?
No, I think she means when...
My mother made me feel like the most useless human on the planet on Friday night.
Is that when, for instance, I don't know, Risey hands me a jam jar and I can't open it and you do?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm trying to give an example. Yeah, it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah. So I'm just curious whether other people get treated like a child by their parents.
No matter the age.
No matter your age, do your parents still treat you like a child?
We'd love to hear from you. 1-333-53 this morning.
My mum, Betty, I mean, no longer with us. I have two mums, if you're new to the show, birth and adopted. My birth mum is coming to visit. She's younger and treats me differently. My mum, Betty, however, honestly, you know, I've got two kids at this stage. Put your seatbelt on, love. Yeah, I got it, Mum. I got it. Are you going now? Yeah. All right, then. We'll put a cardigan on.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit cold outside. We'll take one with you. Mum! It never stopped.
I know.
It never, ever stopped.
Yeah, till their dying day.
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, nice one, too.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, nice
sorry
one.
About that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. That was probably the point it stopped, I found.
That's my question. Do your parents still treat you like a child? Let us know how.
1-333-53. Mark it to Nilba Bay. We love talking to Mark.
Come on, Mark. What's yours, mate?
Oh, my God. My mum.
Yep.
She drives me nuts.
Yeah.
You're going out.
You'd be like walking out the door. Have you got your wallet? Have you got your keys?
Yeah.
You go to the movies. Take a cold. Take a jumper. You're going to Sydney. How will you find your way down there? Mum, I drove from London to Morocco in 1996. I'll find my way to Sydney. It's all right.
Oh, God.
Oh, I love it.
That was crazy.
So with you. So with you.
But she loves you, Mark. That's why she does
it. She does. She loves me, but... Oh, Mum!
Yeah,
48 that's true. Years old!
Yeah.
she's never going to stop.
Nah.
No.
Hey, Mark, have you got your seatbelt on, mate? Don't forget, I hope you took a cardi with you. It's going to get cold later.
Gotta get fresh today.
Gotta get fresh, darling. That's right. Would you like me to make you a sandwich for the run?
Put a hat on because the clouds don't stop you, V.
Put a hat on.
Make sure you got a hat. Oh, my God, Mum.
Drink plenty of water.
I love it.
Isn't this funny?
Yeah.
You know what's weird about this is Tanya and I were actually talking about this on the phone yesterday as parents.
Yeah, I know.
And it's the male-female parent.
It really is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, as I was saying, you know, BJ walks past me and it's like, you know, mate, whatever, you know, we could go an hour or two without talking.
Yep.
However, if she walked past his mum, it'd be like, you should wash your hair.
Yeah.
Have you had a shower? Well, what time? It's questions.
I do it to
yeah,
my
well,
son.
Yeah, of course you do. it's how mums do it.
Yeah.
Whereas dads are just like, you know, like instead of you should have a shower, he walked past me, I'll go, you stink. It's up to him what he does.
But given what I saw last Friday night, I reckon if our gymnastics team are short a few for the Comm Games. I'm going to put my mum forward.
Evie.
She's pretty cool.
Well done.
I was telling you, right, because I had to do that once around the back. We've got a tiny little bathroom window. BJ's about 7 at the time. I've clumped the fence and everything. He's right behind me. And I did. I managed to lift the window in and I got in halfway. And
stuck.
Got stuck. I've never heard him laugh harder since to his stuck dad with wiggling legs. Better call your mum.
So how'd you get in? You have to go in or back out?
I had
out?
To come back out, right?
You had to back out, oh no.
Yeah.
The hips wouldn't slide through.
Yeah, or well, the handles. Tanya
and Steve's 5K payday. Oh, you're having a crack with Monique at Cessnock today. G'day, Monique.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well.
I will do my best for you, Monique.
Fingers crossed.
All right.
Always remember, think like a crazy person.
I'll think like Steve.
Good girl.
There you go.
Good girl.
Thanks. Off he goes to the soundproof booth. Monique, how have you been going? Have you been getting like fours, fives, threes? What's happened?
We've been doing pretty good. I think I've been averaging about four.
Excellent.
I reckon today could happen today.
Well, Risey and I just did it
we
matched.
We matched.
So.
Oh, well, I hope so.
Yep. Well, is he happily ensconced in there, Roger? Yes.
Yep,
he's
in the soundproof booth, so he can't hear your answers you're about to give to Tanya. We'll play a song and get Steve's back in. Hopefully, yours match for $5,000.
Let's go. Monique, your first word is Kaelin.
Ponga.
Yeah. Probably shouldn't say yeah. your next word is palm.
Tree.
Fish.
Boat.
Text.
Text. Phone.
And your last word is dentist.
Pain.
Yeah.
Teeth.
Good answer.
It is a great answer. Well, let's quickly run through them. Kaelin.
Ponga.
Palm.
Tree.
Fish.
Boat.
Text.
Phone.
And dentist.
Monique just said text. All right, we're going to play a song, Monique. Hold there. If Steve's words match yours, $5,000. That's how this game works. We call it our 5K payday. Hey,
payday. So Monique gave us five words to the five words I gave her. If she matches with Steve, you get $5,000. Monique, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling super nervous.
Don't be nervous. Let's quickly run through them. Rise, Kaelin.
Ponga.
Palm.
Tree.
Fish.
Boat.
Text.
Phone.
Dentist.
I think I said text before, but I meant teeth.
Yeah,
Monique said teeth.
Yes.
Yes, teeth.
Yeah, teeth.
All right, let's bring Steve back in.
Here he comes.
Here he comes.
Hey, close to his, Johnny.
I think it's going to be close today, Steve.
Oh, I'll do my best, Monique.
I do too.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay, mate. All right.
That'd be nice.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Your first word is Kaelin.
Ponga.
Palm.
Tree.
Fish.
Chips.
Text.
It was either phone or message.
Text.
So you'd be text message to me or phone.
What are you going to look in, Steve?
Phone.
Okay.
And your last word is dentist.
Teeth or tooth? Are they the same?
No, they're not. They're different.
Tooth. What?
You got 3 out of 5. So you both got Ponga, you both got Palm Tree. For fish, I think Monique was trying to think like you because right. she said boat. You said chips. Come on, Stephen.
Sorry, Monique.
Oh, it's okay.
For text, you both said phone, and then on dentist, Monique says teeth and you went tooth.
Ah.
So we missed it anyway, so it wasn't really that technical. Right.
Yeah.
We've got $100 for you to spend at Modus at Merriweather. This is fabulous. Have you been there?
No, I haven't. It sounds great.
It's a state-of-the-art brewery venue. Mm-hmm. You can enjoy $100 on us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Go on, your Monique.
Well played, Monique.
What would you have said for fish?
Chips.
Ah, okay.
Yep. I would have. Yeah. And so did Risey. Yeah.
Only because you can catch fish everywhere, not just off a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Very close. Monique from Cessnock winning that $100 to spend at Modus. If you get all 5 every day of the week, we'll give you $5,000 with our 5K payday. Back tomorrow, 8 o'clock, same time.
As we've been doing all week, opening up the conversation for mental health with our No Talk, Monday, coming up Monday, isn't it?
Mm.
No Talk Day.
Triple M's No Talk Day. It's all about us not having shows, not doing news, not doing commercials, not doing anything because we're not talking, so we're inspiring you to have a chat.
And as we've been doing it over the last few years and then getting good feedback on good results and things, that's why we keep doing it.
Yeah.
It does make a difference, which
it
is
does.
Great.
And we're continuing the conversation today with Stephanie. Hello, Stephanie.
Good morning, Tanya and Steve. How are you?
We're okay. Sadly for you, you're going to be celebrating your son Matthew's birthday tomorrow without him because he suicided 8 years ago, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And Stephanie, as we keep talking about the conversation, now we're talking about conversations that could have led up to him not doing that. We talk about conversations where it can help you get through it as well. Do you find that there are people to talk to, friends that can support with that, or is it hard?
No, look, I've had a terrific support group and people understand that we need to talk about it. It's a hard subject.
Mm.
For people, you know, there's three ways a conversation can go. People will not want to talk about it. People will want to know about it. Or the other one is everybody knows somebody that has a child, brother, sister, friend that has committed suicide. And, you know, everybody knows someone.
Yeah, we do.
Mm. Yep.
You're right. Let's talk about like mental health in the workplace because this is something that is close to your heart. What do you think is going on in workplaces? Do you think enough is being done?
No, not at all. I'm very privileged. I work in the disability sector, so my work has involved the. Sorry, I'm going to get. I'll spit it out in a minute.
It's all right, Steph.
The EAP, which is an employees assistive program, and I think most good employers should have this. And you can go and get in contact with a psychiatrist. It's free for you. I think there's about 3 sessions that you can have with them. Your boss will be billed. They won't know who has done, you know, who's rung or gotten in contact with the psychiatrist. And then I think the best bet is to go on and then have a mental health plan with your doctor. Mm. And of course, I'm on a mental health plan with my doctor. She's been, you know, a great support. But friends and family really need to get around it. We, you know, Matthew was diagnosed with psychosis in his teenage years. So we had mental health plans in place for him at a very early age. We weren't expecting this. This wasn't meant to happen. So he obviously felt he couldn't talk. There was no other way.
Can I ask Stephanie, as a parent, because there are parents listening right now who can be worried about their own children. Did you see signs? Was there anything? Sometimes people go, we of course, you say he had psychosis, you had a plan, but were there any signs leading up to it that stood out to you? And no, because that's the usual response, just nothing.
Absolutely zero. He did it in October, which is Mental Health Awareness Month. And he was, my husband had just moved him into his new home, and he'd set up a bonfire ready for Halloween. So he was so excited. He loved Halloween. It was his favourite time of the year. So, you know, we always got dressed up and went to his place and had bonfires. So there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. Apart from knowing that he did have mental health issues. Where he worked, he had great support of one of his best friends over there, Judy. She was fantastic. She was a big support for him. They don't tell you a lot of the time.
Knowing
they just don't do it.
What you know now, and having had to go through the horror of losing a child that way, Steph, is there anything that you could say or recommend, or is there just not, because you were so in the dark when it came to obviously those final moments for him?
That's a double-edged sword. If you keep pushing, how's your mental health, they may close up. I think probably letting them know that they can go and talk to somebody else, just dropping pamphlets, leaving "Are you okay" on the fridge, things like that. If you're not, here's a pamphlet, go and talk to somebody. You don't have to talk to us. That's all I can advise. Just, you know, talk to your kids about it, because I think every kid now knows someone that's done it.
Yeah.
It's true, very much. And, you know, it's about letting them know you're there.
Yeah, and thank you, Steph, because do you know that we have that EAP, that Employee Assistance Program, here at Triple M? I didn't actually know. I think maybe I did know, but we've just been told that
we have that here. Yeah.
And there's probably people listening to you, Steph, that didn't or don't know whether their place of employment does. So
yeah, it wouldn't hurt to ask.
It wouldn't hurt to just get in there today and find out. But thank you. Now it's tough, and we're so sorry, obviously. But
and now it's all about looking after you, Steph, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, you know, we have a great support network.
We
really do. We're very blessed with work, friends, family, and we are a very close-knit family.
Good. Well, thank you for talking to us.
Okay. Thank you, Tanya and Steve.
Thank you, Steph.
Yes, Stephanie, and as we're saying, No Talk Day on Monday, time for you to have a conversation. Just reach out to someone.
Yeah.
And if you are suffering yourself, please don't do it alone. Get help. There's Lifeline, 13 11 14. There's Beyond Blue. You can find them online, get their phone number, or just please reach out to anyone.
And if you're worried that people around you aren't caring, it's because they can't get inside your head. And because you're showing an outer smile, they're not seeing it.
Yeah, exactly.
So everyone cares, but they can't get inside your head. So let them know. Now, I saw something in Jurassic Park that's brought this about, T.
Yeah.
And it's a little conversation that Sam Neill, because this is the new Jurassic, Sam Neill's back from the original, as is the other two, you know, what's his name? Oh, it's gone, Jeff Goldblum.
Goldblum.
Yep. Anyway, quick conversation they're having, remembering how old Sam's character is. And he said, yeah, I know. Well, you know, she slid into my DMs. And he went, she what?
Right.
She slid where? Right. And then there's about 5 minutes where they're continuing to talk. And he's in the background going, what the heck? What did she do? Slid it right. And it just realised, like, from the 80s, what would you now, if you were come from the 80s and you landed and you heard people say things we didn't say in the 80s, but it's now part of, and slid into DMs.
Yes.
It sounds rude.
So what would confuse a person travelling from the 80s?
Exactly. What would they hear now and go, what?
What the hell? 1-3-3-5.
Get the list together.
Yeah.
We'd love to do one of these.
The list. The list.
I can tell you one straight off the bat.
Yep.
If someone landed in the 80s right now and I said, I did 3 rats and I'm negative.
Whoa.
What would they think I was up to?
I think they'd think you hate rats.
Or I'm totally invested in them.
Yeah, well.
So you did three. You did it. Yeah,
absolutely. It's very bizarre, isn't it?
It is bizarre. Yeah.
What about if you came back from the 80s, stepped into now, but walked into a bottle shop, into the beer section? There used to be just like Tommy's New and VB. Now there's bloody every second craft beer under the sun.
So true.
Yeah, so confused.
Would you like a pale ale? Oh, well, I don't care what colour it is, mate. As long as it's got VB on the front.
Exactly.
But also, too, you know, hey, do you remember Blah? Oh, I'll Google it. What?
Yeah.
Oh,
you'll
totally.
What?
Google
it.
Yep. Yeah. So things that would confuse a time-travelling 80s person.
We'd love to talk to you about it. 1-333-53 Give
or,
us a call now.
Much simpler, things they didn't say in the 80s.
Facebook.
Yep.
Oh, just
yep.
in general. You've got a book with your face on it.
Yeah.
Have you? There's a list, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's
well,
bizarre.
We're hoping so. What about they just spent all night staring at their phones?
Oh, yeah.
How confusing would that
imagine
be for
the
80s person?
If we stared at our phones.
Just looking at the phone on the wall.
To be honest, I think there was a few times when I might have split up with my girlfriend and my dad said, "You're no good staring at it, mate. It's not going to ring."
True.
Yeah, because they had the dials.
Yep.
Yes.
Can you remember your first phone number, by the way?
873-858.
Oh, give that a call.
Is it still working?
I doubt it, because we've added the 49 now.
Oh, true.
Yes, Phil.
Phil's at Jules.
Yeah, g'day. How are you guys?
Yeah, very well. What wouldn't we have heard in the 80s?
The Knights are going to win a game.
Oh, now, Phil, kick a team while it's down.
Well, no, because the Knights were... Oh, 88. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. They came in 88, didn't they?
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
I think I raised a very good point.
Yeah.
Thank you, Phil. What about... the whole, watch it on the TV. Oh, what's it on? Netflix, Stan, Binge?
Oh, just all of that.
Yeah. The one thing, though, and I'm going to flip this.
Mm.
The one thing that teachers did say to us in the 80s, and they were completely wrong, when you were in math, remember there would be teachers saying, "You've got to learn it long ways because you won't have a calculator with you all the time."
Oh, yeah.
They were wrong.
Wrong.
Yes.
We've all got calculators with us all the time.
Exactly.
No. Imagine someone in the 80s coming here and going, "You know what? I'm going to go and buy a camera."
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, exactly. Camera.
Even our video department here use their phones.
Yeah, true.
Yes, they do.
The poor camera market.
Yeah.
Well, look, no one rang.
No.
I think you named them all.
Good point.
Yeah. Tanya and Steve's stuff we didn't get to.
Didn't we get to? You're kidding. We covered everything.
Well, I think we did pretty much.
Yeah.
Look. Everything else is just miserable.
Of course it is. Yeah. Mm. But my favourite thing I think of the day was Anthony Overseasy. Yes. Anthony Overseasy is the best nickname we've had for a Prime Minister in years. ScoMo was dull.
We can thank Stephen at Sweet Poison for that one. I love that.
Yep.
As we said earlier, he is on a world tour and I believe Australia is coming up real soon.
Yeah. No, I don't believe it.
No.
It is.
He's heard that Parliament House is a lovely building and he wants to check it out.
Fair call.
I don't know whether we've seen a PM. And, I mean, he's not over there putting his feet up, having a lovely time in Hawaii.
Yes, he is.
He's working.
No, he's not. But he's just going over there giving people presents and going, "I'm the new Prime Minister." Bye-bye.
I can't recall a new Prime Minister that's been overseas longer in their first weeks in office.
Have you seen the books? He doesn't want to look at that sort of business.
I know.
Trying to avoid it, yeah.
He's got to go through a couple of months of denial before he faces all that business. I mean, the COVID debt alone, Tanya.
I know.
But yeah, it is. I love it. Anthony Overseasy, that will stick.
Yep.
Sadly, it will.
That will
definitely
stick. But, you know, he's just doing if he wasn't doing it, ScoMo would be probably doing it as well.
It was just a rusted thing
and timing. But it's funny timing.
Yeah.
He's never travelled this much in his life. Come on, you know, Albo. Oh, I might go away. We'll get a Foster.
And I love the fact that we've moved a long way, haven't we? That, you know, the world leaders are expected to be married or whatever it is.
Yeah,
because there's his girlfriend who's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And she's there having a chat to the Spanish Prime Minister's wife.
Yeah.
You know, probably telling her all about the plans to get rid of the monarchy in this country. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
She leans a little bit that way.
So, you
know what I mean? Like, one minute she's here doing a thing and next minute she's on the world stage with
all the
big heavy hitters.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm.
About 2 years they've been together now, I think, or something?
Yeah.
Not a long time, anyway.
Not a long time.
In the big picture.
Yeah.
It is a long time in real time, but it's not a long time in the big picture. So, you're right.
Yeah.
It's reflective of modern society.
Of course it is.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to have a ring on it these days.
That's right.
Same with Jacinda Ardern as well.
Yeah.
Didn't she only just get married or she's about to get married,
about
I think?
To.
What?
Oh, it's different for ladies, mate. That's not right. That's not right, Tenuil. What's that about?
Well, yeah, she had the baby, and I don't think she's had the marriage yet.
No, not yet. I think it's coming up soon.
I beg your pardon.
Crazy.
Listen, we'll let you get on with your day, and we'll go and explain a few things to Poppy.
My goodness me. What a promiscuous young lady she must be.
Tanya and Steve are off to build another show for Newcastle. McDonald Jones have been building in the Hunter for over 35 years. Triple M's. 10 years.